Open your Bibles, if you will, to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 2. The text says, He created them, male and female, and He blessed them and named them man. The King James Version, the American Standard Version says, called their name Adam. If you're reading the New American Standard Version, there's a footnote on the word man, and in the marginal note it'll say literally Adam. So He named them, male and female, Adam, in the day they were created. Now obviously, you can see from the verse that the word Adam, the name, a name is simply a term that we use to address something, to refer to something, that the name used in this particular case is descriptive, that the male and the female were mankind. I think the New King James, in fact, may translate it that way. Mankind. They possessed manhood. Not that there were two people with the arbitrary name of Adam. But read the next verse and you'll see a difference. In the next verse, when Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his likeness. That did not apply to the female. Here the term Adam is arbitrary. It's like John's name is John, or Melanie's name is Melanie. It's arbitrary. Somebody gave him that name, not intending to describe anything about him, about his character, nature, makeup, or so forth. So here Adam is his name, as we sometimes use the word name, in an arbitrary sense. Now we understand the difference in these two usages of the word name. You can call a dog Adam arbitrarily. That's my dog. I named him Adam. But it doesn't make your dog man, mankind, descriptive. And so name can have an arbitrary meaning, or name can have a descriptive meaning. Now when we talk about the term Church of Christ or Churches of Christ, that term, that phrase, is descriptive, not arbitrary. It's not the divinely given name by which we're to refer to the church, or by which it's to be known. This can be illustrated by what we have on the chart. We've got three different verses, all talking about local churches, but each time they're described by different kind of phrases. In Romans 16 and 16, he talks about the churches of Christ. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, one of those churches is called the Church of God. Now, which is the name? Both are descriptively, neither are arbitrarily. And then you have another Church of Christ, the one in Thessalonica, but when he addressed it in his letter, he said, the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So these three passages certainly demonstrate the fact that the term church of God or of Christ was used in Scripture, not arbitrarily, but descriptively. Now, with that in mind, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to, in just a moment, read from verses 9 through 11. But before I do, I have here a bulletin that Melanie Bright gave me. It's a bulletin from the Kingwood Church of Christ, right over here, our neighbors. Kingwood Church of Christ, last week's bulletin. And in their bulletin, you find that they were inviting today, I believe it is, a lady by the name of Sally Gary to make a presentation. Not sure about the nature of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 indicates that women are not to speak in the churches. Speak their meaning in an authoritative way, addressing the assembly. But maybe they do not pay attention to that. Maybe that's what's going to happen in this particular assembly. But be that as it may, she's to make a presentation. And in her presentation, she's going to encourage those people, quote, to be respectful of others' perspectives, unquote. And she's going to discuss how the LGBTQ lifestyle, and if you're not familiar with that acronym, L, lesbian, G, gay, the B, bisexual, the T, transgender, and the Q, either questioning or queer. That's the way those five letters are meant to, are what they're designed to connote. So those who practice that lifestyle, she's going to invite them and encourage them to find, quote, find a place to belong in the body of Christ. Now, I would say, amen. If that meant finding a place, the body of Christ, by being converted to the lifestyle God demands and repenting of that lifestyle that they're currently practicing. Here's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You can open your Bible if you wish. I wanted to put it on the chart because there's a couple words we want to particular note, some phrases in this particular text here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He said, do you not know that the unrighteous will not, so here we have, will not inherit the kingdom of God? There is no place in what we just sang about, the kingdom of Christ, for those who practice the lifestyle that he here discusses. They will not inherit the kingdom of God, that is the blessings of the rule of the Messiah. Now note this little phrase right here. Do not be deceived. In Corinth, that these things that we're reading about were lifestyles of different people. They practiced this. They had been practicing it. And a number of these things they'd see nothing at all wrong with. In fact, some of these things were part of their pagan religion. And so it'd be easy for Christians to buy into the idea that they believed in Jesus. Now we just want to welcome them into the church with no change. Is that possible? Yes, they were doing it. They were overlooking adultery in their midst, and he had to spend the rest of the chapter convincing them. You'd think you'd never have to convince Christians of this. That fornication is something you cannot practice if you're a Christian. So he says, do not be deceived. Don't let anybody convince you that it's okay. It's not okay. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Now those all, the word idolaters, you say, well that looks like that's out of place because you have a word that has to do with sexual activity, fornication, and another word that has to do with sexual activity, adultery, and idolatry in the middle. But remember I said that their religion was sometimes connected with idolatry. In the old city they had a temple and the priestesses were prostitutes. So, yes, it's very fitting to, in that letter to those people. Fornicators nor idolaters. So even if you're committing fornication as an act of religious worship, it's wrong. Nor adulterers. Now, note these two words. Nor effeminate, nor homosexuals. Now, depending on what version you read as to how those two words are translated. But what you have is the two parties in homosexual activity with those two words. That's what you have. And so, either the part that the man's playing or the one that the man's playing as a woman, either one, neither effeminate nor homosexuals will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, he said, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. He said, such, now I want you to note this, were some of you, but Miss Gary, in this presentation, I went to her website. She's runs an organization called Center Peace, P-E-A-C-E. And there I found this quote. Nobody's asking you to change what you believe. Sally Gary, Center Peace's founder and executive director, told the 350 attendees who came from across the United States and Canada, nobody's asking you to change what you think about the morality of sexuality. But what we're going to have to change, she added, is how we provide community for the entire body of Christ, unquote. That's in a website, ChristianChronicle.org. So, she's not going to say, now you need to change your views about these things, or question your views about sexuality. We just want to find a way that we can incorporate you without change, if I understand the quotes, into the body of Christ. Look at the difference here. We see here, such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. So it makes no difference what lifestyle a person has been in. They can be clean. They can be right before God. That can be forgiven before God. But there has to be a change. You were that way. You've got to quit it. You've got to stop that lifestyle. And note what he says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Kingwood bulletin says, Kingwood Church of Christ. Is that descriptive or arbitrary? When I read that these people in the name of Christ were expected to abandon this lifestyle, and I see a church that says, it's okay, you're welcome here, I want to know, is that a church that Christ would approve? That honors the authority and the morality that Christ expects of His people? On this website that I went to, sadly I noticed that there were a number of quote-unquote churches of Christ who are also embracing this view. Churches in Texas, in Georgia, in Oklahoma, in California, and who knows where else. You might think that maybe there's a church somewhere in the United States. No, they're all over the place that are buying into this philosophy. Remember this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. So we read from chapter 6. Here's chapter 1. Paul called as what? An apostle. An apostle is an ambassador. He represents the king. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, he's the one that wrote 1 Corinthians 6. If Paul went to preach in a church of Christ, had that on the sign, what would he preach? Note he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the text that we use in 1 Corinthians 6. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12 following, we'll not read the rest of it, but that's where he argues that they cannot participate in sexual immorality, the thing that prostitutes do. You cannot participate in it. And instead of saying, we don't expect you to change, what he says is this right here. Flee immorality. So, you may go somewhere. You may move. You may be on a vacation. You see this sign, Church of Christ. Ah, that's a good one. I can go there. I can be a member there. Can you? Does the name mean anything? Remember, I can name my dog Adam. Doesn't mean he's a man. And because they have Church of Christ on the sign, doesn't mean it's an of Christ church at all. Look at Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. Now, in this particular text, we have Jesus himself speaking. I want to read from verse 19. We have it here on the chart. So here's Jesus himself speaking. Out of the heart, verse 19, come evil thoughts. And it's possible that evil thoughts encompasses all the rest of these specifics. But whether it does or doesn't. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications. Now, I want you to note, and I put a capital on that S. Not fornication, fornications, plural. Thefts, false witness, and slanders. What does he say about these things? Here's what he says. He says they defile the man. Now, you have murders, plural, adulteries, plural. Is he talking about multiple acts of the same kind, multiple murders? Or is he talking about different kinds of murders and different kinds of adulteries? Very possible that's what's in view. Regardless, this word fornication was a word they used in their society. And if you want the documentation, you ask me, I'll be glad to get it for you. It's a word they used in their society to include homosexuality, bestiality, lesbianism, those kinds of deeds. Certainly between men and women, sexual, unlawful sexual activity between men and women, but it was a broader word. And if that's correct, the word in their language, if that includes that, here's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ saying, these defile the man. Tell me, a church of Christ, is it? Is it of Christ because it's on the sign or printed on the paper? Is it? When their doctrine and teaching is so contrary to, well, I'm reading Jesus' teaching. Look at back at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1, 2. This letter is written to the church of God. But then we read these verses, chapter 6, 9 through 11. And we saw the condemnation of those practices of the society that we know now by this acronym. Now look at Romans 1. So here's a church of God. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 25 through 27. Romans chapter 1, by the way, all through this section, it's centered around God. When you start back up in verse 18, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. It's the truth about God. Verse 19, that which is known about God. When you get to 21, they did not honor Him as God. Verse 25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. So people can say they believe in God, or may deny it. I don't know. They may say He's not going to do anything about it. But they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Now, continue to read. And worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. That is, they did what we want to do, not what He wants us to do. Look down at verse 26. Let me get 26. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. The first letter in the acronym describes it. Lesbianism. And in the same way, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another. The second letter in the acronym, G. By the way, this acronym, sometimes the letters are in different order. But that's one way to do it. L, G, B, T. So gay, you don't use the word homosexual, but gay, but that's what that is. That's verse 27. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own person the due penalty of their error. Now, why did they suppress the truth of God? Verse 18, here's why, verse 18. They don't want to acknowledge God any longer because God condemns all of that. In verse 32, he says, they know the ordinance of God. God has rules. Tell me something. Is Church of God arbitrary? Or should it be descriptive of a church that holds to the moral standard of the God that is the Creator of the universe? Names don't necessarily mean anything. They can, but maybe they don't. Don't be deceived by the name. Oh, but the question is, don't you love people? This is a theme that runs through their literature, their presentation. We just love people. We want to teach people how to love. I have a question. Was Jesus loving? Was He not the epitome of love? Go back to Matthew chapter 15. Here's Matthew chapter 15. We read a while ago from verse 19. I want to back up to verse 8 and 9. There's a word that runs through this whole section. The idea of defile or impure. It can be in worship. It can be in your morality. Whatever it may be. But it's the idea of what defiles a person. In verse 8, He said, this people honors Me with their lips. Oh yeah, they'll put maybe God on the sign. They honor Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me. In vain do they worship Me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. I want to ask you, is that love to tell a bunch of religious people your worship's useless? It's in fact the most loving thing He could do. If you go to the doctor, see, I got some pain in my chest, and he does a scan or an x-ray or whatever, and he sees clogged arteries, maybe a bunch of them. What's the most loving thing he can do? Let's forget he's getting paid. Let's say he's doing all of this just because he's your friend or cares about you. Most loving thing he could do is, I'm going to tell you something, you're going to have to change your lifestyle. And you need surgery. And that's going to hurt. And they're going to have to open you up. They're going to have to cut you open. They're going to have to do bypasses. Is that love? Or he could choose just to ignore the deadly situation and say, I'm sure glad you came to see me. Come back again. Which is love? Tell me. Jesus was acting in love when He said your worship's useless. In verse 13 and 14, He said, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant should be rooted up. Let them alone. They're blind guides of the blind. The blind guides the blind, both shall fall into the pit. Is that love? We've got our own definition of Church of Christ. We've got our own definition of love. And then we have the verses that I read earlier here in verses 19 and 20, where it said, those who practice these things, they're defiled. Is that love? Must we quiet Jesus? Did he not understand that they ought to be received without change? Read with me Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. Here are people who went to a church of Christ, the Laodicean church. I don't know what was on their sign, but that could have been a designation of this church, Church of Christ. But here's what he said to those people. They needed to change. They were lethargic. They weren't serving Christ with the zeal they ought to have. And here's what he said. As to many as I, what? I love. I reprove and discipline. And it says you need to repent. Repent is change. Change. So don't be deceived by this love thing. If you really love people, and you know, if you talk against the LGBT community, you're going to be accused of hate. Oh, in fact, you may be accused of hate crime. That's the devil's work, folks. And so here's what Jesus did. I prefer to follow Jesus, whatever the consequences may be. But it's not only true as doctrine. When you look at a Church of Christ, what about its organization? In our Bible class, we've been talking about this verse. To the church at Ephesus, he said that the overseers were to shepherd the flock, one flock. Which one? Among which God had made them overseers to shepherd. Shepherds more than handling money. Just seeing about people's souls. What about a church whose organization or government, where the men are overseeing money from multiple churches, maybe overseeing satellite churches? What about that? You can put Church of Christ on it all you want to. The church at Ephesus was composed of people that were purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. And those who are shepherding that, they're to shepherd the flock among them. Is it a Church of Christ because it's got that on the sign? Would Christ approve of a church that ignored what his ambassador told the elders of the church at Ephesus? But it's not only in doctrine and organization, it's also in practice. We didn't hide any Easter eggs today for your kids to find. A lot of churches did today. And in advertising, try to get people in. Kingwood Church of Christ had an Easter egg hunt. You may have saw the ad on TV, the Woodlands Church said, well, yeah, but that's not a Church of Christ. Kingwood Church of Christ advertised an Easter egg hunt. Also in this bulletin, they advertised that they have a Wednesday night meal that'll cost you $6. And that they're selling Easter crosses for $5. You can buy a cross from them. And that they're going to have a senior slideshow. And what it is, they're going to highlight memories of the senior's life and a senior's luncheon. Isn't that great? Well, it depends on who's the king. Whose constitution are you following? I'm going to tell you what. You know, you got, besides the four Gospels, you got 23 New Testament letters, starting with the book of Acts. Cover over 30 years of early church history. Not one statement, not one command, not one example, not one implication of any of those churches practicing these kind of things. No tickets to the chariot races. No boxing matches and getting renowned boxers of that day. None of that. They assembled to do what we're doing this morning. Sing, pray, teach, observe the Lord's Supper. That's what they did. 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul wrote to Timothy, who was a preacher in the church at Ephesus, that the church is a pillar and ground of the truth. That's what you find in the New Testament. Its purpose is to instill the truth of Christ in the hearts and lives of His people. And in Philippians 1:27, the church in Philippi was a group of people striving together for the faith of the gospel. Not to better the community, the society. Not to see how much money they could raise or who they could elect. But banded together for the faith of the gospel. I've been talking this whole lesson about the term Church of Christ, but you know the same applies to the word Christian. You talk about a term that's used loosely, that's it. He's a Christian. Why? Well, he says he believes in Jesus, and that's it. If he just says he believes in Jesus, then he qualifies as a Christian. Was the word Christian used in the Bible in that arbitrary sense? Or was it descriptive of a person with a certain mindset and lifestyle? When you go to Luke 6:46, it also tells you what Jesus thinks about the hollow use of names. I've got it on the last chart as well. Why do you call me? That's what a name is, something you call something. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? So you can call your name Christ follower. He said, why do you call me that and not do what I say? And in Titus 1:16 talks about people who profess to know God, but in their deeds they deny Him. Look at Luke 14:15. I could read verse 15 following. It would be a good reading. I think when I prepared the lesson, I decided I was going to. But I'm going to, for sake of time, I'm going to go down to verse 26. Just for sake of time. Multitudes were going along with him, verse 25. In verse 26, I'm reading, I wanted to read the other because it had to do with priorities. That's why I put 15 following. Sense of priorities. If you don't have a sense of priorities, you're not a follower of Christ. But you can read it in your own time if you want. But he emphasizes that again here. All these people are following him. He said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters and yes, his own life, he cannot be a Christian. I know, Christian's not there, but isn't that what a Christian is? He cannot be. He went on to apply it later on in this discussion to what one possesses. His possessions. Christian has to do with priorities, with devotion, with what's important to you in life. Yeah, you can use the name if you want to, but it's often very hollow. I got my name on the directory. I'm a Christian. I got wet one time. Jesus care about names? I just read this passage, Luke 6:46. You're familiar with Matthew 7:21-23. Why do you call, not everyone who says to me, Luke 6, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me. That's what a name is, what you call somebody, how you refer to them. Not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And they're going to profess they know him, but he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. You who work lawlessness. Don't be deceived by names, folks.